If you have a pen or pencil, I would encourage you to take that out. You'll need your Bibles today as well, but most of the scripture that we'll be using will be inside that study guide. For you who are new, one of our core values, we have six of them, is biblical teaching and training. And this is that time where we look to the Word of God to listen and to hear what our Heavenly Father would like to share with us, and then to take what He shares with us. He may say something to you differently than He says to your neighbor, but to apply it to our lives. So let's see what He would have to say to us. We're looking at a tribute to mothers. As we open our hearts and minds and ears to what the Holy Spirit would say, let's begin by owning two truths that I'm going to show you on the screen in just a moment. It's important that we grasp these two truths as we engage with the rest of what the message would be from our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit that He's been laying on my heart the last 2 weeks. So as we look at it, please hold on to it because it's so important. Remember these truths. The first one, please. Mark 10:27. Would you read this aloud with me and read it with some strength in your voices, okay? Let's read it together. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Would you say again with me? For all things are possible with God. Again, for all things are possible with God. Now, I want you to hold on to that as we embrace the rest of the message going forward. The next verse, please. Philippians 4:13. Again, let's read this aloud together. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. What can I do?
All things.
Just a few things?
All things.
What did you say? One thing?
All things.
All things, right. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We need to own this because it is directly from our Heavenly Father to us through the Holy Spirit. Paul wants us to understand that. Matthew, the former tax collector, he wants us to understand, yes, there are certain things in your life as we approach this, Mom, that you can't do on your own. And that's okay, because you can do all things that God wants you to do through your Lord. And He wouldn't ask you to do certain things unless you could do them with the help of your Lord. I'm not trying to put a burden on your beautiful shoulders that you cannot do. For what He reveals to us today, you can do with the help of the Holy Spirit. So having said that, I'd like to share with you the story. Dr. James Dobson, he talks about a little girl who wanted to bless her mother. Her mother was homesick from work that day with the flu. And so she wanted to be her mom's nurse. So she went and got an extra pillow for her mom to put behind her head. She then went and found a book that she knows her mom loves to read. And then she made some tea, some hot tea, for her mom to sip with the hope of getting well. So the rest of the story goes like this. Mom says, when she's receiving these things, she says, "Wow, I didn't know you knew how to make tea." And the little girl said, "Oh, yes, Mom, I have learned watching you." You know, our kids are watching us. I learned that watching you. You know, my son, when he was little, he would follow me around as I would mow the lawn, and he had this little lawnmower thing. And he'd be right there behind me, and that thing's going pop, 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 driving me crazy. But at any rate, you know, she watched her mom. She said, I watched you put the water in the pot, and then you put the tea leaves in the water, and then you boiled the water. And then you strained it into a cup. But I couldn't find the strainer, so I used the fly swatter. It's kind of like what her mother did. You what, she said? She says, oh, don't worry, Mom. I didn't use the new one. I used the old one. If you're a mother, I'll bet you've got some gross stories to be able to tell about being a mom. And you know, they weren't funny then, but you bring them up at family gatherings now, and everybody wishes you wouldn't, but you do, and everybody has a good laugh. You know, being a mom is not easy. I was listening to a lady who I believe was a mom, and she said this, and I quote, a young mother once lamented she was already saving for the cost of therapy her children would need because of her failures as a mother. Isn't that sad? But you know, I don't believe I've ever met a mother that doesn't feel like she's come up short. She's missed the mark. And she oftentimes heaps an awful lot of guilt on herself that she shouldn't do. And she really shouldn't. Because anything that might be considered, let's say, sin, you know what? The Lord Jesus, just before he dismissed his spirit into his Father, he said, this is completion. It's finished. I've taken care of all of this. So being a mom isn't easy. And I heard about a woman who said, before I was married, I had three theories about raising children. Now I have three children, and I have no theories. And you know what? Those of us who are parents, I think we can each one agree with that. We can all relate to it. If you're a mother, you know that motherhood can be messy and at times frustrating. And I believe all the time, so long as the kids are still home, exhausting. And there is no foolproof formulas. Right? There are no foolproof formulas. Kids are different, and you can raise three kids in the same house, the same way, and they will come out differently. At least that's the way it happened with our three kids. Mindy is only like her sister in that they're both female. And neither the sisters are alike, and certainly not like their brother, and he's not like they are. So look at your notes, and here's your first fill-in. Let us extend a blessing. Being a mom is not easy, and so today it is very appropriate and right to pause and say thank you. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. To our mothers, and to honor them and thank Father God for them in love and obedience to his word. Some of us have a different kind of thinking when it comes to mom. So I'd like to have us visit the Decalogue, the first commandments that we couldn't keep. And that's why our Lord came, so as to give us his grace and the mercy that comes along with that, to be able to do the things that Paul will remind us of. Look there at Exodus 20, verse 12. Let's read this aloud together, shall we? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Would you go back and circle the word honor and mother? He wants us to honor our moms. He wants us to have a godly attitude towards our moms. He wants us to behave in the way that a Christian son or daughter should behave with their parents, and in this case, mom, to express godly behavior to mom. Paul reminds the Ephesian church family, and thereby us this morning, when he wrote this letter to the church, and in chapter 6 and verses 2 and 3, he says, honor your father and mother. Would you circle the word honor and mother again? Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, when he begins by saying, honor mom, he is giving us a present imperative. And you and I know an imperative is a command, just like we see it there in Exodus. It is a command. It is not a suggestion. Well, Ron, you don't understand the relationship I have with mom. I don't feel like it. And that's the beauty of the Greek text as we read it and unpack it, is the words here are in the present imperative. In other words, love, agape, mom, means it doesn't matter what your feelings are. If you have warm, happy feelings about mom, great, makes it easier. If you have other than warm, happy feelings about mom, your Heavenly Father is saying this: I don't give a rip about what you're feeling. Seek your mother's best. Honor your mother. End of story. And that's pretty sharp. This is what he's asking of us. So let's give tribute this morning. Let's give our appreciation to mom through our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let's look at our American holiday, Mother's Day. I'm going to give you some fill-ins there in just a moment. But contrary to what you might be thinking, Hallmark really didn't invent Mother's Day. Okay? They may have come up with Valentine's Day, I don't know, but they did not invent Mother's Day. We are participating, as you look at your notes, in something that has been done for over how many years? Anybody know? Anybody know how many years we've been celebrating Mother's Day? Someone thought it was 410, but no. Pardon? 100? Oh, we're pretty close here. What a smart aleck. Good stuff. 10 points. High five. I give you chest bump, but you're a girl. It began in 1908. Historical fact. Okay, smarty. Do you know who the woman was who kind of instigated the thing? Pardon? Don't put that in the blank. Anybody know? Mrs. C's. No, don't put her in the blank either. All right, smart man. Way to go. Yes, Anna Jarvis. Did you just look it up? Yes. Yeah. Wait to Father's Day. That's right. No, you can't be cheating here, gang. You either know it or you don't. But he knows how to use his cell phone. So anyway, yes, Anna Jarvis, who loved her mother greatly and requested her pastor that they have a special service on Sunday to honor all mothers in the congregation. So on May 10th, 1908... they had a special service and presented a carnation. I'm sorry, folks, we only got roses. But they presented carnations to all the mothers who were present in that service, which was Mrs. Jarvis' mother's favorite flower. Somehow the tradition seemed to catch on, and then on May 9th, 1914, who was president then? No cheating. Who? Yes, Wilson. Woodrow Wilson. President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday of May every year to be Mother's Day. He said it would be a time of public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. So we come today to give tribute to our moms through our Heavenly Father. So here's just a thought in your fill-in. I'm aware of the fact that for some of you, this is the first Mother's Day that you will observe without your mother. During this past year, your mother has gone to heaven, and there is a note of sadness in your heart. So here's your fill-in. I want to give you a word of encouragement. I want to lift you up. Though it be a sad day for you, I want you to know it is a glad day for your mother. Think about it. This is not a tragedy. Okay? This is not a tragedy in your life. This is a triumph in your life. Never again will your mother have pain. That's your fill-in. Never again. Your mother will never shed a tear again. You know, my mom used to get migraines, and she named them Ron, Don, Scott. And my stepmom named hers Kelly. She'll never shed a tear again. Your mother will never know a sorrow again. She won't be waiting up late at night and be disappointed in something you might come home and share with her, as my mom often did. Your mother will never die again. So in Revelation 21:4, we're going to read this together aloud, but before we do, I want you to make sure your faces have a smile on them, okay? It takes more muscles to have a frown than it does to have a smile. So let's put a smile on your face. Come on, I'm not moving on until you put a smile on your face. Okay, come on. All right, good. Okay, now let's read together Revelation 21:4. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Did you see there? No more tears. There's going to be no more death, no more mourning. There's not going to be any more crying, no more pain. And that's good. Mom has triumphed. Your mom who is in Christ and in heaven. Your mother may very well be waiting for you. You know, what took you so long, Ron? But my mom's still here. And going to celebrate her today, along with Kath. But she may very well be at the gates waiting for you, and she's going to show you to the digs that our Lord has created for you in that brand new heaven, that brand new earth, that brand new everything that he's going to have when we hit eternity. Because the earth and the Jerusalem that we know about, the heaven that we've been told about, are all going to be made new. Very interesting time. I know that Mother's Day can be a very difficult day for others of you because you have difficult reasons. You have difficulty with mom. I was reading in USA Today this last week, and this article was called Mom Shaming. mom shaming. And it says 78% of millennial moms, that's moms between the age of 20 and 36, 78% of millennial moms have experienced shaming or judging by their own mom or family. That's sad. 78% in this study. I know that Mother's Day can be difficult and for various reasons. Some of you just had a really rotten relationship with mom. Now, mom may have been a real character. Mom may have been involved in drugs. Mom may have been whatever you know. But, you know, my mom, I always thought was a mean, nasty person as a teenager growing up. Because I was this kid who was doing things that she had already told me don't do. So it was really my disobedience that met her punishment. Had I not done what she had told me not to do, I wouldn't have gotten punished. But at the same time, I recognized that. I'm the one that was causing this division in our relationship. It wasn't that she was. So I just laid that before you for you to think about. Is it because of your pridefulness that you have this not so great relationship with mom? Or was she just really a rough person to be around? And if that's the case, well, then you don't have to follow the commandments from Exodus or from that we saw there in Ephesians. I'm lying. You still have to follow the commands. You see, you have been blessed in marvelous ways. And so you can move through these things with the help of the Holy Spirit. And then maybe you'd love to be a mother. And our Lord thus far has said, either wait, or possibly he is saying no. A couple of things I want to remind you of. He knows us best. He knows what is going to be the very best for us as an individual, as a couple. And since he knows what our very best is, I want to encourage you to trust him in that. Some of you will recall the Ballous. They were part of our church family for just short of 13 years. Rob was a pharmaceutical salesman at the time and the coach out at the Masters University for the girls' softball team. And the beautiful young woman that he would then marry, that I'd get to have a part of, was Carlene. And she was a recent graduate of the Masters University. And they would become our youth sponsors. They were really our youth pastors, like Pastor Eugene is. As a couple, for 12 years, and back in those days, we had over 30 junior high schoolers, over 30 of them. And not only were they like pastors to these kids, but they were also pastors to the parents. They never took a dime from the church till the very end when I had talked to the elders about something that I'll talk about in a moment. I tried to encourage them because they were trying and trying and trying over those 12 years to start their own family, to have their own little Ballous coming. And the Lord kept saying, no, no. And there were reasons, physical reasons, that I won't go into as to why they could not. And I tried to encourage them, well, look, you got 30 plus kids. Yeah, I'm going to run through that, Tom. You got 30 plus kids, and they, that was fun, but they really wanted kids of their own. And I showed them my kids and said, really? And they said, but they still did. But as it worked out, at the end of 12 years, they decided to adopt little Caitlin, beautiful little girl. And they've since adopted another little boy and so forth. So I don't know what the plans are, should you be looking to the Lord for children. But if you look at your notes, just a thought. Mother's Day is a stretch. If it's a stretch or challenge for you, we can focus on the mother heart of Father God. That's a statement I heard Vernon McGee make many years ago. The mother heart of Father God and His goodness, grace, and love towards us. Can't we focus on that? I mean, really, look to that, because He's been so good to us. His Son has made such a mammoth sacrifice on our behalf. He is the perfect parent. He made us male and female. In the image of Himself, He created us. In Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. So our Lord, for those of us who have become husbands, He brought a wife alongside of us to help, to be our helpmate. And it brings a little more completion to us because, as we know, men and women are not just physically different. We are emotionally different. And we look at things differently. And this way we can get a whole holistic picture by Father God's mother, the mother heart side of Him. He understands the women He has created and given us. So what a special day it is for our mothers. I want to talk about Proverbs 31, which is familiar to many of you. And for some moms and wives, it becomes a time of anxiousness as they have read through this passage. And they felt like, I can't measure up to this woman in Proverbs 31. And I want to encourage, Mom, I want to encourage you who are wives, that I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged. Sometimes these verses in these scriptures can become intimidating to women because they look at this God's idea of what a woman can be, and they feel that they can never measure up. But remember, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I may not be able to do certain things, but all things are possible with God. And that then helps you to move to a greater intimacy with God the Father through the Holy Spirit, because you can become not perfect, because none of us are perfect, but you can become excellent with the help of our Heavenly Father. So we need to remember, here's your fill-in. We need to consider wisdom. We need to look at the book of Proverbs and understand that it is a book of wisdom literature, along with the book of Job, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, and some other psalms. As such, it offers a set of instructions for wise living, a handbook, if you will, for skillful living a godly life. The book of Proverbs is the concrete examples and truisms. A truism I've defined there for you. It is a claim that is so obvious or self-evident as to be hardly worth mentioning except as a reminder. So the book of Proverbs is there to give us examples as well as to be a book to remind us of how we can live this godly life. So going backwards again, the concrete examples and truisms are meant to be generalized and applied to different situations. They present contrast between the wise and the foolish, and between the righteous and the unrighteous, as well as the common consequences of a course of action. Readers should take all of these truisms, all of these examples, all of these reminders, not as a promise, but as warnings to live sensibly or to be cautious for fear they face the negative outcome described in this book. So I'm going to have to fly through this because Tom gave me the 5 minute, 5 minutes ago. We see here the following. The Holy Spirit reveals to us in Holy Writ, he says, an excellent wife who can find, a virtuous wife who can find, a woman of this noble character who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. Pointing out here that a woman who embodies the things that follow, or even some of these things that follow, she is rare. She is rare as a genuinely Christian woman. Not these phony baloney, quote-unquote, Christian women. I'm talking about real women, intimate with Christ, given over in fullness to him. This is the only way this woman could be this way. So an excellent wife or mother, who can find? She's more precious than jewels. As I was reading along, did you know that 36% of consumers plan to buy jewelry from mom today, spending an estimated not $4.2 trillion like last year, but $5 billion today. $5 billion. But you see, when we look at this woman that is being discussed here, this beautiful woman who is a wife and a mother, she is far more precious. In other words, you can't put a price on her. You can't put a price on her. You cannot give me enough money for Kathy. And I mean that sincerely. She's not even here for me to be getting brownie points. This woman is of infinite value. The heart of her husband trusts her. Trusts her. And he will have no lack or gain. And I'm frustrated at this point, family, because time is basically already gone. And you know me, I want to unpack the package. I want us to get all, I want to squeeze it for all the juice we can get. Because to do anything other is not to get all the stuff that he wants us to know. But maybe another time. But the heart of her husband trusts her. He trusts this mother of his children. He trusts her as a wife, and he will have no lack or gain. She is there, and she's going to contribute to the health, the financial health of the family. She does him good and not harm all the days of his life. She lifts him up before others. She doesn't speak down about him to other people. This is a marvelous mother. She does good to him, not harm, all the days of her life. She's faithful and trustworthy. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. Literally, in the Hebrew there, she enjoys her work. She's like the ships of merchants who bring her food from afar. And that is so pregnant, and I'm sorry, I can't go into detail there. She rises while it is yet night. Before daybreak, she gets up. Some of you girls are going, not me. She rises while it is yet night and provides food. It's not like Kathy kidded with me when we were first married. You want a hot breakfast when you get up? Fine. Go over there, pour some of that cereal into into your spoon and put some milk in there and light a match under it. She was kidding. I was still in bed because I was working morning watch. But she rises while it's yet night, provides food not only for herself but for her entire family. And that's not just breakfast. That's probably also packing lunch. Because they're an agrarian society, and they go all over the place, working in fields and going off to the marketplace. She considers a field, and she buys it, and that's unusual. And I would tell you why, but I don't have time. Blame Tom. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. You know, You know, she has business sense and she works hard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. And that's such a beautiful thing to share with you in depth. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. No, she plans ahead. She's a planner. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands to the spindle. She's going to be weaving clothes. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's a selfless mom, a selfless wife. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. And the word scarlet has some special meaning, and another time I'll go into it. But she's going to make sure her family have... She'll spend whatever it costs for the clothes for her family to have so they're protected from the elements. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. You know, she enhances him. She brags about him. She honors and respects him as a wife and as a mother. She makes linen garments. I said that strength and dignity is her clothing. Said that. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue, probably referring to the teaching of her children and her maidservants. This is a wealthy family. She's just a marvelous lady here. She looks well to the ways of her household. And does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not sitting around twiddling her thumbs, wasting her time. She is busy all the time. You know, my wife often says, man works but from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Is that right, ladies?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But anyway. But look at this. Her children rise up. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And kid, you know, younger, older kids, I'm not talking, oh, bless her, you know, no. I'm talking about they rise up and they speak well of her. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. He's telling them, this needs to be shared. My wife is a fantastic mom. My wife is a fantastic wife. And this gets shared at men's breakfasts. And this gets shared just when the guys are out fishing or the guys are hanging together or couples have gotten together for dinner. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. You see, here's the secret, ladies. Here's her secret. Here's her secret to godly character. She might be charming and she might be beautiful, but you see, over the course of time, beauty can fade. It doesn't go completely away, but it fades. You know, when I look at Kathy, I still see that beautiful 21-year-old who is at the end of the aisle with her brother, getting ready to walk down that aisle to be given to me. I see that woman when I look at her today, almost 48 years later. So charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears, a woman who reverences, a woman who has given herself in fullness to God, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised by her husband and by her kids and by other people. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. That's where the guys would usually be gathered in this culture at that time. She deserves to be lifted up. Kathy Nelson Seidel is a phenomenal woman. Perfect? No. Pursuing excellence? Yes. This woman has been with me through thick and thin. She has put up with all of my education, going through one university and another. She has put up with me in the hours that I worked in law enforcement and the way I hurt her by being more in love with my job than in love with her. And yet there she is sticking with me through it all. She bore three children for me. She went through tremendous pain to have these children. She risked her own life to have those babies. She's a phenomenal woman. She's smarter than I am. She's a wonderful teacher of children where she is right now. And she's a wonderful teacher, as you have told me, of your women's Bible studies. She's just a neat lady. She goes out of her way. She spends everything I have on my grandkids. I have to work three part-time jobs to keep up with what she's spending. Because she loves those kids. Hey, that's fine. You die, I get your insurance. Just kidding. So listen, here's your feeling. Listen carefully. I want to remind you that what you have here is a guide and a goal. As you look here at Proverbs 31, you have a guide and a goal. It is to remind you. It is to help you remember these examples that are contained in this book. It is a composite of all the virtues and the values of a godly mother. It is not here to intimidate you, Mom. It is not here to intimidate you who are a wife. It is here to encourage you. You see, when I look at a test, so to speak, and all my fill-ins are marked correct, you know, by the prof way back when, you know, that's good. But when I left a blank or he marked an area wrong answer, that's an encouragement. It's not a downer. He's telling me you need to learn more about this area and you can achieve what needs to be in that blank. Don't look at your life, Mom. Don't look at your life as a wife and say when you look at this and look at it in depth that you've failed. You have not failed. You may have room to grow, to expand, to become more and more the woman you want to be in Christ. I want to encourage you so that with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can be the mother or the wife you really want to be. I was reminded the last 2 weeks as I was preparing this message, the book of Proverbs opens with a father giving counsel to his son. It closes with a son paying tribute to his mother. So as you look there, an excellent wife, who can find? An excellent mother, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Family, I just want to encourage you today, being Mama's Day. Our Heavenly Father is saying, make these women who are your mothers, make these women who are your wives. Make women see themselves as God sees them. They are special and they are valuable and they are to be praised. So if Mom isn't here, she's gone to heaven, tell the Lord what you feel about her and what you think about her and how you appreciate what she did do for you. And if she's not here, or she is here, and she's far away, call her up. Call her up. More phone calls are made today than any other day in the year. Call her up and tell her. Write down. First, think through all the things. Get a laundry list of the things you want to love on her with. Or if you're going out to dinner with her, going over the seer, think it through. What would you like to say to her now? Don't say it at her homegoing celebration. If you're a newcomer, that's a funeral for us. She isn't going to hear it. Tell her now how special she is. Tell her now. As I said, my mom's 91, and I really don't know how much more time I've got with her. So she's going to get an earful today. She isn't going to believe it, but she's going to get an earful. So, get it? Good. Let's pray. Father, how good you are to us. We thank you for our moms. The fact that we are here, we have reason to thank you for our moms, even those who have had awful, awful relationships with them. In our culture, as you know, we have seen over 56 million little Americans aborted. So our moms, they chose to have us. So we thank you for our moms. Now help us. Help us to forgive those of us who need to forgive our moms. Help us to be obedient to you because you've told us to forgive as we have been forgiven. You've told us to love our moms, to love each other as Christ has loved us. So, Father, your Spirit is within us. Now move us. Move us with conviction. Move us with the love that encompasses us, that you've given us, that is unfailing, that we might make our moms special as you see them. You said a life lived for Jesus is the best inheritance we can leave our children. So, Father, let us live lives for Jesus more so this day, going forward, that we might leave a tremendous inheritance for our children and our grandchildren. For I ask this in Christ. Amen.